in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make
Augie plans. From Fredonia, wow, shoot. That was the ultimate yogiism.
Yogi Berra?
That'd be correct.
I got people that agree with me, though. Jake the Snake on the Lake says 1,000% right.
And what was your take that you were 1,000% right on?
Smart people are dumb.
I believe the was stop hiring smart people because smart people are dumb. I believe was the direct quote. I don't want to... Don't want to, you know, put words in your
mouth.
Well,
here's the problem, Gabe. Because smart people are smart because they take time to deduce things. You don't have time when you're in the replay booth, right? You ever drive with a smart person? Horrible. Terrible. Because they can't react fast enough. My brother was valedictorian of his college, and he is the biggest moron on the face of the earth. He's driving in Boston one time. Horrible driver.
Okay.
Matter of fact, he flipped the family station wagon, driving down the highway while trying to take his coat off.
I mean,
but that's what I'm saying, you know.
But I mean, in his defense, you also lit an M80 off in your car.
I was gonna say, was that the one with the hole in the seat?
Yeah, but I was smart enough to get out of the way. Okay. You don't drain your car oil into the grass in the backyard because oil comes from the ground.
No.
Okay, Josh?
No.
You have told me that one.
No.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. And Craig will agree with me.
Oil comes from the ground, so I'm going to... Oh, yeah. Man.
You ever see the Costanza? You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See? Right in the meaty part of the curve.
Right in the meaty part
right?
of the curve. All right. We will ask Craig Karmazin about that coming up at 8:30. We'll do Reach You, which we haven't done in forever, it feels like. Coming up
next. Vacation boy over here.
But I want to ask this. How good do we think the Packers are? Because in the NFL composite power rankings, which can be used kind of determine, you know, for Las Vegas, they kind of take all these rankings and try to figure it out. How good is one team better than the other in terms of figuring out lines? They have the Packers as the 7th best team. Does that sound about right? Are the Packers at 3-2 the 7th best team in the NFL?
No. Not yet. They could get there, but they are. Why do people think they're playing so well?
So I think the thought process there is they're not playing well, but they're still winning games. And there's a value in that.
There is value. But I would put them second tier. They're not elite.
Okay.
And I have a really, really hard time putting Minnesota as elite.
I would say, based on the way these rankings figure out, and we've seen a couple different ones here that have put just strictly Vegas. Some are these composite rankings that are like simulations and other ratings. The Packers are considered in that second tier right now.
Yes, that's where I put
them. They are not the top elite teams.
Yes.
But they are one of those teams that if things break their way, they consider a Super Bowl team.
Correct. I'm not saying they can't get there. I'm just saying when you beat three crapola teams,
yeah,
because Indy's not good, Rams are not good, and who was their other win?
Indy, Rams, Tennessee.
Tennessee's not good. Okay, and then you lost to Minnesota, who I'm not putting as elite yet.
They've got Minnesota at 6 on this composite rankings.
Yeah.
And then you lose to Philadelphia early in the year, who I am not putting elite as well.
Yeah, they've got them at 9.
I think it's pretty simple if we were to remove how close we are to it. The Packers have an explosive offense that everyone kind of thinks isn't fully fleshed out yet, and an opportunistic defense. No one's going to say it's good,
yeah, but
turnover rate is high.
Hold on. Thank you. I was just going to say that. If you take the turnovers away and cut them by X, and you can't do that. I mean, they got to give them credit. It's Joe Barry's defense.
That's not totally accurate.
Where was Joe Barry after 5 games last year when it comes to ranking the defense in the league? Because we said Green Bay 17 right now.
Yes.
That's Joe Barry.
It's right around where he was, yes.
You want to fight back on that?
Yeah, I do, because Joe Barry just simply didn't blitz.
And I agree, but from a number standpoint, Josh, you have to take
the results,
opponent.
In the raw numbers,
they haven't played I mean, Indy's offense is crap. Titans offense is really, really crap. And the Rams without Puka and Cooper Kupp is crap.
Yeah.
So last year, the Packers were 10th in points against and 17th in yards.
So statistically, they were better last year if you took the, and I know you can't take the turnovers right out of it. I mean, to the eye, it looks better, but the numbers, you can't lie with the numbers.
Yeah. What I'm saying is they're doing different things, and their aggressive style is the reason they're leading to more turnovers. Now, in terms of raw yardage, like, I mean, we've talked about it. Pass rush, not good enough. Simply giving up too many rushing yards as well. Like, all that stuff matters. But turning the ball over, which was what Hafley talked about as being what he wanted to do, like, we can't discount that as much as for the sake of your argument. Yeah, it's Joe Barry. But I think if you remove turnovers, everyone's Joe Barry.
And I know. I agree with you. It looks better. It just looks better, yes, even though the numbers might not be better or might be comparable. But come on, can we look at this objectively?
Look, I'm excited about the offense because I feel like the offense hasn't played well yet.
Correct. I would agree.
And you know what? They lead the league in explosive plays.
Yes.
So, like, the fact that they haven't played well, you sprinkle in just, you find a little bit of consistency, hit a little bit more on third down, yeah, 1-for-8, not acceptable, yeah, not going to lie. Like, this offense is going to be a juggernaut.
I agree. And like I said earlier
and
in
then
the week,
we don't have to talk about the defense other than Xavier McKinney.
It's week 5. Who cares?
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
Also, I feel like Joe Barry's the points against number is skewed because every drive was 17 plays in 8 yeah minutes.
And just, yeah, they didn't have enough time. It really should be like a percentage right of like drives the other teams scored on.
How many times did drives just carry?
Which, can someone check where the Dolphins rank when it comes to run defense?
Okay.
If he's top 10, I'm going to lose my mind.
I can do that right now.
Where do you think he's at?
I think I don't think he's top 10. I'll tell you that right now.
I kind of hope he is.
Talks amongst yourself while I figure this out.
He is not top 10.
Oh, thank God.
He is 19th in the league.
All right, that's okay. Yeah, I feel a little better. Yeah. All right, I feel better.
Run game coordinator down there in Minnesota.
But the defense, I'm really starting to lean its players. And I know we talked about this week.
I guess I have more hope for the linebacker position just because, like, Edgerrin Cooper's looked pretty good. And, like, I mean, Quay's just a guy. You got to have him stop guessing wrong a lot of times. We talked about it in this week's Week in Reachu where he comes up and
just
guesses wrong and it leads to a big run.
Yeah.
But they're paying two guys to be more than just guys in the front, and everybody's just a guy right now.
Gee, we will know. I'll know where this defense is at after the 49er game.
Okay.
You'll know what you have, right? Okay. Because they're going to play three good offenses. You got the Texans, you got the Lions, and you got the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're stout or they look pretty, I'd be like, okay. But if they're giving up 35, 31 points to those three teams, I'm just gonna say the defense is not there.
Yeah, because
it's just,
I mean, again,
not
those
there.
Those are teams that, not Houston, obviously, because they're in the AFC, but those are the types of teams, playoff teams, that you're going
that
to have
you're
to
going
face.
To face.
And you have to do better.
And you
against
can beat
harder.
You can beat one of them, Gabe. You can beat one of them, but if you have to play three playoff games to get to the Super Bowl,
it's tough to generate the turnovers you need to three
correct
games in a row against really good teams.
Yeah.
The way that they're playing right now.
Yes. What would you give them as an overall grade to this point right now?
The defense or the team?
No, the team. B minus?
I think you could talk me into...
You can't say B.
Why not?
Because they don't... They're just...
But Malik... But they were without Jordan Love for two games.
The
way that they got the most you could possibly get out of Malik Willis wants me to up it. Because they were able to come together and put together a plan that was just so bleeping good.
That was 2 weeks of A+, was it not?
Yeah, but against two bad teams.
Yeah, but you were with your backup quarterback.
I know,
Willis
still
was free.
Bad teams.
Yeah.
You bag a popcorn and some kicking tees and you got him.
So what are you giving him for a grade?
I think I'm going to give him a B.
Josh?
I'm at B to B minus. I think there's been times it's looked sloppy, not what you want.
Well, the penalties are an issue.
Yeah, but... The explosive, leading the NFL in explosive plays is something that is just going to benefit the Packers all year long.
Leading the league in explosive plays and leading the league in
hold
turnovers.
On. Jaden Reed leads the league in explosive plays. That's it. Who else has explosive plays?
Josh Jacobs.
And yeah. Josh Jacobs.
Because run explosive other, plays.
Well,
yeah.
Tucker
run
Kraft. Yeah, all right.
Run explosive plays are different than pass explosive plays, but Jacobs has had a lot of those. Yeah, Reed, Kraft, Dontavian's had a couple.
All right, so we're all kind of close.
Christian Watson's even had some.
That's against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll know after the 49er game.
All right. But yeah, I think we're all on the same page. B.
Yeah.
B minus.
B minus. Okay.
With room to improve.
A lot of room to improve. Because if you're going to win the Super Bowl, you got to be an A.
I don't know how much room there is to improve on the defensive line. Like, there's room to improve. I don't know if they can actually get better is the problem.
The thing that makes me at least optimistic is I don't believe they're going to be the worst all season. And maybe that's being naive, but it feels like there's more talent than worst in the league up there.
Like, I mean, if they somehow even get to league average, that feels like it would be such a
it'd
win.
Be amazing.
But I don't know how that happens.
But then that's on Halfley, because he's got to sit there and go, all right, this is what I got to live with for a D-line. I got to find a way to get pressure, which means exotic blitzes.
Which he's, again, I feel like the times he's blitzed.
Yeah, the Keyshawn Nixon blitz off the edge was a nice call.
I feel like the times he's blitzed.
Cooper knocked him out of field goal range.
Yeah.
It's worked. But again, you can't just be.
No, not going to work.
If you're solely relying on blitzing to get pressure.
You're going to get, in this league, you're going
to
get. Because blitzing leads to man, which means to people running free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree.
It's a dangerous way to live, especially against good teams. Mm-hmm. Like, as you keep mentioning, the San Francisco 49ers. Let me tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. Whether you're hauling, towing, or just plain trucking, it is truck month at Ewald Automotive Group. They have hundreds of the toughest trucks from Chevy, Ford, GMC, Ram, with payments as low as $299 per month for financing as low as 0%. All backed by the Ewald exclusive 20-year, 100,000-mile warranty going on now while supplies last. Offer expires at month's end. Ewald makes it easy. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We have not been able to do this for a couple of weeks. Again, I've had fun hanging out with Strofe on Fridays. But when Chew's gone, we just can't do this, where we quiz him on the things that he said this past week and see if he remembers what he said. It's time for We Can Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the We Can Reach You.
All right, big guy. It's been a while since you played.
Mm-hmm.
I've got five questions. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. You've never gotten all five correct in a single week.
And I've also never gone over.
Yeah, you've never gone over.
Yes.
That's true as well.
Fair enough.
That's just charity by me and Ashton.
Yeah. Oh, yours is coming. Don't worry. All right.
Question number one. What drink did Jen spit onto the floor yesterday when you decided to enlighten us with this?
I'm not a swallower. Tea. Hot tea.
She spit her tea onto the floor just to my right here, somewhere. Kind of see the stain down there.
Say if a growth starts happening.
Do we still have cleaning people? Well, obviously not. Or they haven't been here in a while. Oh, we could ask Craig.
Okay. Question number two begins with an audio clip.
Nothing is impossible.
I can guess that in three hints.
What four-word phrase did you incorrectly conclude you could guess in only three hints?
I have no idea.
What did you expect?
What did you expect?
You remember that conversation now?
Yeah, I do. I didn't remember the phrase at the time, so. And that was all because of
Rodgers. Salah. Whole nine yards there.
Yeah, okay.
Question three begins with the audio clip.
I want to be clear here. The word Chewy says at the end is ship.
I mean, he weathered the ship, but.
What is the correct saying? Weather the blank.
Weathered the storm.
Hey!
But I don't remember you. Did you just do that now? Or did
Jen
you
corrected
that?
You, I believe, in real time.
No, because it sounded like a swear, but I really wasn't swearing.
No, correct. It just, you kind of, it's just the way
lazy?
You spoke it. It did, well, you didn't actually swear.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
yes.
No.
And that's why Josh wanted to clarify okay. that the word you said was shit.
When it gets cut off shit. Like that, it sounds yeah. like a little.
Probably a little Boston lazy, too.
Yeah, you, right? Sometimes your words just trail off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Boston lazy? I've never heard that before.
What?
You
they
guys
speak
are so lazy.
And yeah.
You just don't finish words.
Yeah, like talk. You know. You got a good Boston accent.
Oh, yeah. Go to the fifth one here first for me.
All right. So,
what am I?
You are 2-1.
Okay.
You have 2 questions to win. Just got to get one of them right. Question 5 starts with this audio clip.
Jen just spit on the floor, and I did not say a thing.
You snitch.
I didn't say a thing.
You snitch. Okay.
What poor hygiene habit of yours did I bring up causing you to lash out? I brought up something, and
no,
then you ratted on Jen for spitting her tea on the floor.
I don't remember. Lack of deodorant?
I love that there's so many yeah, gross
that's,
habits that you have.
A trick question for
it. You're like, which one could it be? Not washing / rewearing your socks.
My socks. And for the record, I have not used deodorant yet this week. I don't think I've used it since I've been back.
So are you at the gym doing the bench press and everyone around you is just getting whiffs?
It's more when I do a drive-by. Because there's a little airflow.
Doing some overhead, yeah. You know, pull downs. They kind of get a little whiff of what's going on there.
Like this shirt reeks. See, I'm okay this time of year because normally I wear a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But
it was a
I have a lot
today.
Of stuff packed because I'm leaving on Sunday.
Sure.
And I'm trying to limit the amount of laundry
okay.
that I have to do before I leave. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right. I can tough 52 degrees in the morning because it'll be 79, but that was a mistake.
All right, you got to get this one right.
2-2? All right.
2-2. The pivotal question. What can't you be told on Mondays?
Gabe's not going to be here today. He's dead. I got it. On Mondays or Fridays?
It is correct. He's correct. It's
yes.
Fridays.
What can't you not be told
bad
on Fridays?
Bad news. I don't
yes.
know any bad news on Fridays. None. I don't care what it is.
I feel you should get even bonus half point for correcting,
give him a double click.
For correcting
yeah. double click.
The question. Yep. The yeah. question was wrong.
Yep.
He knew
yeah.
the question
right.
was wrong and still
yep.
gave the right answer.
I think a lot of people would subscribe to that theory.
No bad news
no
on Friday?
No bad news. None.
But again, you can't just hold on to the bad news.
Yeah, you
news.
Can. Yes, you can. Till Monday.
So, say in this situation, great Aunt Trudy dies on Friday.
Monday.
Keep it. Just keep it.
Yeah. I mean, you're not having a funeral Saturday or Sunday. I mean, I can turn and burn quick. If you didn't tell me until Monday and the funeral's
yeah.
Tuesday,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, because
okay.
you got time.
I do have a lot of time.
But again, I feel like if it's really bad news,
try
like that,
it. Just try it. Your life will be so much better.
Well, no, because then if we're all just saving bad news to Monday,
yeah. Monday's become a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, it's bad anyways.
So you're just making it worse?
Yes. It doesn't matter.
And here's the thing with the no bad news on Fridays or over the weekend. How do you get everybody in your life to subscribe to that? Because I have a feeling that there's a lot of people sharing different bad news if they had it. Like, bad news happens. People just share it.
Well, I mean, most times you got to repeat things for me because I can't hear. I don't walk around wearing headphones. I mean, granted, some of it is selective, but not all of it.
Are you going to point you need a hearing aid?
If someone's pushing for that, it ain't happening. No, I'm serious. But
is that because you have selective hearing specifically around this person?
Yes, I can't hear. I really can't. But someone told me that they're coming out with earbuds that double as hearing aids.
I'm surprised you're not, like, invested in that somewhere.
But the problem is this. And Blammer, you know, me and Blammer are kind of hand-in-hand. He wears hearing aids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we're sitting at a table like this and talking, and maybe there's one more or two more, I can hear everything. When you put me in a restaurant, With the same amount of people.
A lot of background
noise. I cannot hear, and my doctor told me hearing aids are going to do nothing in that situation.
Yeah.
So I'm out.
Because it's more the background noise.
Correct.
That just kind of overpowers everything
else.
Have you guys gotten to the point where your significant other can have a full conversation with you and you don't hear a word?
Here's
like,
what
you
happens.
Come to
you
and you're like,
what
you've been talking?
Well, this is what happened. So she'll be in another room with high ceilings. I have a problem too.
Okay.
So she'll say something and wait for the answer. I'll hear a word or two and then be like, all right, what the hell? She's, I got to figure this out here. And my batting average isn't very good.
Jesse Winker.
Let's have the spaghetti. Yeah.
Jesse Winker-esque. You're hitting 199.
I get yelled at for saying what a lot.
What?
I say a lot of what because I hear like the end phrase and I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
What she's saying typically. And I don't know what's going on. I'm just zoned out. Apparently that turns my ears off.
But I will trade that. Okay. I'll give the selective hearing. If they change their packing routines on just hogging all the luggage, okay, I will change my selective hearing.
So this is a negotiation.
Absolutely.
How's that working for you?
Not real well.
Yeah, kind of like when the NFL and NFLPA want to negotiate.
Because here's the deal.
There's not.
We're leaving for Florida, right? Yep. Until Christmas, I have one bag. She has three.
Okay.
Okay. You know who's got to carry the bags into the airport? I get the exasperated look when I said, hey, can you take my iPad and my headphones? Because I got to pull these bags in.
Yeah.
You know what I get? Sure. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So change your packing routine.
Okay. And the hearing
and I'll change
will get
my
better.
Selective hearing.
All right. Seems like a negotiation. We'll see how that works out for you.
Fair enough.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be issued with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Kevin, the founder and CEO of Mentality, wants to help you. Look, you could be tired, groggy. Just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack your day. All those could be signs of low testosterone. And how you find out is you book an appointment with Mentality. You go in, go through their process, and if your testosterone levels are low, you can work with them on a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you to make sure your levels are where they need to be, and you can compete at work and sports like you did years ago. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
love our chats with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, who told Joshy 836. We hit that on the nose.
Some things never change.
Okay, look, bud.
No, you know you used to produce our show on Sundays.
Yeah.
And this is what he would do.
This is the pot calling the kettle black.
What are you talking about? I'm always on Lombardi time. Always.
There were times I started the open for that show and just hoped that one of you would show up before it ended.
The producer.
That was the worst show to be a producer for. The worst.
Because of him.
Because of both of
you. No. The problem is I didn't have my keys a lot of time, so I had to wait at the door for him to come.
Oh.
That is the issue.
Because you couldn't call me or
text
me. Well, at that point, you didn't know my name, so.
I thought you were someone else. Look, there is no one in this building that is more prompt than me. Would you agree?
No one.
When it comes to
building,
consistency,
there's no one more consistent than you. I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. No. You know what? I mean, if you're asked to be somewhere, you will be there typically on time. But I feel like when you were doing the Sunday show with Craig,
yes,
he, again, founder and CEO of the company, if he's showing up at 10:01, even though the show starts at 10,
you know
you're
why?
You're following correct. That lead and showing up at
you 10. You know why he does stuff like this?
Because he's extremely busy?
No,
because
he's smart. He's like my wife. Extremely smart.
Yep.
Have no regard for promptness. None. None. That's, so, you know, everyone thinks being smart is so great. It is not. It's not. I'm sorry.
I'm guessing there's got to be some upsides.
Well, of course there's upsides. But there's also downsides.
I'm guessing being dumb's not too great either.
I mean, it's okay. I guarantee dumb people are better cooks than smart people.
What? No.
Yeah. You think Craig can cook? I guarantee he can.
No, but again, it's
can
like...
Can you cook? Yes,
yeah,
you can.
I can.
Joshy, can you cook? Just embrace it. Don't fight it. Not everyone has to be smart. But and there's positive and negatives to everything.
Wait, so is he calling us dummies? Is that what's happening right now, Josh?
Not dummies, but
I think
maybe
he's trying
adjacent.
To drag us down with him.
Oh, but Josh is smart, though, right?
Josh is real smart.
Can you cook?
I can.
Ah,
I chose not
that
to.
That wasn't strong. I can cook. That's confidence. That was kind of like, I can make cereal.
You need a PB&J?
Like, what's your go-to?
What? What's my go-to? I mean, whatever. I make whatever you ask me to, I am capable of making it. I just typically don't cook that often.
Like, I made chicken parm last night, and it was outstanding. You know why it was outstanding?
Why?
Because you pan fry it
okay.
before you put it in the oven. Gives it a little crispiness. Delicious. He can't do that.
We'll ask him right now. Good Karma Brands founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin. Can you make a delicious chicken parm?
I can.
Do you think there's value to being dumb?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
now,
so,
back on the chicken parm, the only way I could do it is if someone makes it and leaves it in the freezer for me, and then I put it in the microwave for like 10 minutes.
There you go.
And then I kind of stir it up.
I told you.
All right. So
things take longer when they're in the when they're frozen than they do in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's called defrosting.
Yeah.
We want to play a clip from you. I want to know if you agree with this. This is from Chewy from earlier today.
Well, here's the problem, Joshy. Here's the problem in a nutshell. A lot of smart people are stupid, you know? Stop hiring such smart people.
Wait, so you want them to hire dumb people?
Well, I don't know if dumb's the word, but how about common sense people? I'll take common sense over smarts any day of the week.
As a founder...
It's easy when you don't have smarts to say that.
Yeah,
hiring such smart people because a lot of times they're dumb.
Please save this question for Craig.
He'll agree with me, I guarantee.
Do you agree with Chewy?
Totally agree with him.
Told you.
So a lot of the books that we read as a company are from like the, I think they're called the Table Group. It's like Lencioni. He does a lot of things on culture and all that. And one of the things that like we look for is humble, hungry, and smart people. And this isn't like unique to us. Like yeah. A lot of people look at those things, right? But smart is exactly what Chewy's talking about. Like it's not like academic intelligence or any of that that you're necessarily looking for. You're actually looking for more people smart, common sense,
yes.
awareness,
yes.
which isn't the way you would think about textbook academic smart, because
thank
sometimes you.
You
could be very smart, but that's not necessarily the smart that's going to win when you're building a team.
Why isn't a mechanic who can look at an engine and know everything about it, why isn't he considered smart? But if you if you get on your ACT a 31 or a 32, you're considered brilliant.
Well, so here's the one thing I always say about you, Chew, and like you're a football savant. Like you understand the game. Like the mechanic that can look at the engine and fix it, that's you in football, man.
And that's yes. brilliance. That's still brilliance
yeah.
the same way anything else is brilliant.
But I don't think society looks at it like that.
I agree. I totally agree.
I also don't think they're mutually exclusive. Like I don't think every smart person is common sense dumb or every common sense smart person. Like I don't think they have to be individualized there.
But I don't think a lot of people get it all. I think if you get a bunch of one, you're probably lacking in the other.
It's a 50-50
where
you want to be.
You want to be more balanced.
I don't think you want to be balanced, though. I think you're better off having a lot of one of them And then leaning into that as your strength, leaning into that as your strength, and surround yourself with other people who are going to fill in the other gaps.
All right. So you have 16 points.
Okay. Like, would you rather have 16 running back? Points, Craig. You have a running back. Would you rather have a running back who is a 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 running the ball? And a 2 out of 10 as a pass blocker, or is a 5 out of 10 on both?
No, I'm going to tell you this right now, straight up, and you can agree with me, I don't care, whatever. At their prime, healthy as ever, not hurt, I would take Aaron Jones over Josh Jacobs all day long.
I always would have done that.
Why?
Well,
just what he said, I mean, health, balance.
Well, no, I'm not saying necessarily the balance. I just think he's the more impactful player. I just think the way running is these days, you don't run the ball like 28 times a game,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
And I think you get more out of Aaron Jones' touches than you do out of Jacobs' touches. I think each touch from him is more valuable.
That's what makes Christian McCaffrey an MVP candidate.
Yes. And I think we saw when the 49ers played the Packers, there wasn't that big a difference between Christian McCaffrey and Aaron Jones. Christian McCaffrey broke one big run that Aaron Jones didn't. But Aaron Jones was all the Christian McCaffrey was in the first half of that game.
Pushback?
Look, I think Josh Jacobs is better for...
By the way, let me just stop this. I think this is an unfair conversation because the Packers could have had both of them. Yeah. And that's the thing that I think...
Yeah, but that goes to there's not enough footballs on the field to have both of them.
No, there is. Look at all the receivers. Like, I think that creates... Oh, this is Romeo Dobbs.
Yeah.
I haven't been following the news this week. I only heard about what happened last week. But, I mean, don't you think that creates the unpredictability that makes an offense really great? Like, if you had Aaron Jones and Jacobs, this offense would be so much better.
The 3 hours after, I think it was Rappaport from the NFL Network said that the Packers were keeping both was... my favorite 3 hours of the offseason. Because, yes, the thought of having both of them, of having Jacobs being that guy that you can give the ball to, he's grinding out carries when you're trying to...
Yeah, but then
it runs what did you say, Chewy? And what did you say, Chewy, the other day? Like, hey, does Jacobs need to sit a few games from a wear and tear standpoint?
I get that.
Would you feel that way if they had both?
No, I get that, Craig. And I said this early in the offseason. I said the risk you run with all these receivers who are kind of the same is exactly what is happening right now. With Dobbs. And if you heard Jason earlier in the show, he doesn't think this is over.
Yeah. But don't you think the beauty of that is, like, okay, we're fine without Dobbs then. This is pretty interchangeable the way they've built this.
How do you handle that, though?
How are the Brewers this year without Corbin Burns? I think that worked out okay.
Yeah.
It did, but they traded away Corbin Burns. It's not like he came back. So right. How do you think the Packers handle this? Because this is the part that's fascinating to me, is like Matt LaFleur as a manager. Okay, somebody just acted out, didn't show up for work for 2 days. Okay, you want this person to be engaged, but at the same time, you can't just, okay, we got to make sure we get him like 12 targets this game.
No, I mean, I think, didn't we see it work out pretty well with Jair Alexander? I mean,
but
he owned it right away.
I think you're right. And that's why if Dobbs doesn't, I think, ultimately, he's gone. And by the way, the Packers will get a reputation the way the Brewers on some levels have a reputation. But the Brewers may have that reputation that Josh Hader gave them because Josh Hader didn't want to pitch more than 3 outs for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of players who are going to come and play for the Brewers this year, and the Brewers have a pretty amazing thing going right now.
Can we avoid Brewers talk? It still stings, man.
It does.
It still hurts.
It does, but... I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
There's so many good things to look forward to.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of good things to look forward to. I'm just not ready to start looking forward to it.
Let me ask you this. How would you have handled the situation if you were LaFleur? Wouldn't you go, and say it happens here at work, wouldn't you go and say, you got to apologize? You got to apologize. And that whole brought up the, doesn't feel comfortable talking in front of the team. You still have to do something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, the public apology is less important than how he really feels, right? I mean, because guys are going to know, Chewy, right? If he apologizes, that's not going to do anything if guys see that he doesn't mean it. Like, I don't think the show of, the big show of display matters.
You're saying inside the team or publicly?
No, inside the team. Forget publicly.
Craig, I'm just going to tell you this right now, and everyone knows there was a guy he played with that not a lot of guys on the team liked playing with him.
Keith Jackson?
No. Sterling.
Oh, wait.
Didn't like playing with him.
Yeah. And you guys,
and that's not good for a team.
And you guys got better, and he was your best player.
When he was gone.
Right. Yeah. And he was clearly your best player, better than Brett at the time.
Correct.
And you got better when he was gone.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, I think you would see it from the rest of the team, right? If Reed and Wicks and Watson and Love and Jacobs are like, oh, Romeo's cool. You know, we've talked to Romeo. He's cool. We're good.
Yeah, but
like,
that seemed a little forced. Other than Watson, it seemed a little forced.
Yeah, but it's not the public apology for me, Craig. It's standing up there and, okay, now I'm going to take the questions because I've already put my teammates in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And by not stepping up publicly, again, he doesn't have to apologize to me as a fan. To me, it's about, okay, make sure that Love and Watson and your guys don't have to answer questions on your behalf.
You know what? I don't even mind if he doesn't step up publicly. If he doesn't like talking in that format, if he wants to write it out, if there's some format that he would want to share, I do agree. As a teammate, I would want some acknowledgement that like, hey, I just want to thank my guys. NFL football is hard enough. Not only did I put them in position to have to win without me, but my absence was a distraction for them. I'm so proud of how they stepped up. I'm ready to get back to work and focus on football. And I'm not going to answer questions about this because it's a deeply personal situation for me, but I'm ready to win and I appreciate my guys.
So do you
there
think
you know. that would be that hard.
I know, but
so you would, that would be enough for
that'd
you.
That'd be enough for me because again, it's more about you left your guys high and dry once by not showing up.
But
and then you left them high and dry by hiding, by not putting out a statement and then by hiding from the media in the locker room.
Did LaFleur drop the ball in not having him do that? Because there's certain times you got to take the decision out of the player's hand when he does something this egregious.
What's interesting to me is where his agent is through this. Because if you think about it last week, what I kept waiting for is where is Romeo's side of the story? Like I want to be very sympathetic to Romeo in this spot. I want to say like, okay, he's going back home. We've heard Wilde talk about a lot. Maybe there's some thing that's bigger than football that he's not able to talk about that someone else could give context on, or someone else. Like, that's what's interesting to me is that there's been no uncle, no like anyone that I'm aware of, and you guys follow it closer than I do, who's given any sort of context or, you know, supporting details that would make us be a little more sympathetic to Romeo.
Sure. And I always say, even though he's a young guy, they make mistakes. They make bad decisions. That just happens when you're young.
Sometimes I get the feeling that people are mocking me on the text line and Gabe's laughing at it and not reading them just based on what I'm seeing where his eyes are going.
Well, no, somebody just said, just kidding, kind of keep an eye on it.
Am I right, Josh? Was that the right look that I saw from
Gabe?
Why,
did you just feel that?
Yeah, I felt that from Gabe.
Right,
see, no, that's because I don't know if that makes me dumb or smart, Chewy.
No, so Justin Middleton, Psychology Fridays with Chewy and Craig. I love this. So, you know, you're getting positive feedback.
Okay, there we go.
Although Tommy did say, thanks, Gabe, I can't even hear the word Brewers without a single tear slowly rolling down my cheek. So Tommy also not ready to talk about the Brewers.
I talked to the Brewers front office yesterday, and I was like, all right, what do you do? Do you act like the season never happened? Do you act like the season was great? Do you be like, oh my God, I'm so sad? Like, because I was there and we economically impact, like this is, Brewers are up there for me, importance for any team. I was at all three games. I was so sad. I couldn't watch, even though we have the Mets on our station in New York, I couldn't even watch the first two Mets games. Mm. Like I was still like just so upset. Like I didn't even know, like I still felt that way. And I just went with the Brewers. I was like, oh my God, like how good a season was this? I was like, your analytics guys, in their best case scenario, there's no way they had 93 wins, right?
No.
And I was like, I was like, this season, and nobody, my thing is like, Sal Frelick didn't play that great this year. Mm-hmm. He's got more of an upside. I was like, Bryce Terang played great, but didn't hit great. He's got more upside. Like, Jackson played as well as anyone could have thought he could play. But I was like,
still has more upside.
Yeah.
Because he's 20.
And the pitchers all pitched out of their mind, even though, like, I mean, the bullpen guys, you know, Tobias, there's so many great pitching performances. But, like, I don't think you'd be like, oh, we're going up from 93 wins. But I think it's the first time where it's like, wait, we could be,
absolutely. You're getting Woodruff back. Yelich will be back, hopefully healthy again.
Which is how we felt about the Packers and the Bucks. Where it's like, hey, every year they're going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
the Brewers have been in the mix every year. I don't think we always felt like they would be, but mm-hmm. they somehow have been.
Yeah.
Now I feel like this year elevated to the Brewers, where we now think of them the way we thought about the Packers with Aaron Rodgers and the Bucks with Giannis.
Yes.
And the Brewers have somehow done it, maybe because Jackson Chourio is that guy and Yelich back healthy. But I think this year has elevated the Brewers in the fans' minds in so many ways.
I agree.
When do you think you're going to get over it?
I don't know. I mean, I just keep going back to, like, because I also feel like I'm defending, like, I think they did everything right, too, in the postseason.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Like, that was...
Oh, they pulled Freddie too early in game one. Oh, you know what? Freddie came back in game three.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I was like, is there anyone in your building who's like, hey, Freddie should have pitched the ninth inning also?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we can't. You couldn't do that against the top of the order. There's no right. No. I mean, Joshy.
No. You've got...
No chance.
They did everything right.
It was the perfectly managed series I've ever... Like, the most perfect I've ever
and
seen.
And Devin Williams, he's blown. He gave up two runs against the Diamondbacks last year when we were down 4-3. So he did this again. No.
We haven't even talked about the two pinch hit home runs. Calling up the perfect guy in the perfect situation.
Mm-hmm. How about the fact that the guy who... No, when they had the worst strategy move, hey, we're going to pinch run for Contreras.
Yes. Yeah.
The guy pinch runs and gets caught stealing.
Yes.
And then he hits the home run that wins the game.
Yeah.
You know, they, or ties
game
the
two.
Yeah,
no,
game
won
two.
The game.
Yeah, they won the game.
Two.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Wins the game. I mean, everything worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was so magical. And that's where I keep going back to, like, being in that building for games two and three with the back-to-back home runs. It was just, it was a magical place. And I think there's something to the attitude that the fans had in game one, where it's like, this woe is me, oh, we're going to lose again. Like, winning game two the way they did, coming back in game three.
Game two, Craig, I felt like anytime that energy started happening, like the fan base in game two, just like, nope, we're not going there. We're getting up, we're getting, making noise. We're going to, you know, we're not doing that here.
Yep. And that's why I think the fan base feels a momentum with this team. And this is the first time I think, even if Adamas isn't back, which I hope he is, obviously, that I don't think people be like, oh, we lost our guy. Like, I think they understand that, hey, Ortiz, Terang, like, there's a method to this. And our farm system's insane right now. And there's 17-year-olds who, I'm not saying are the next Jackson Chourio, but are also looking really good in the system right now.
Appreciate it, Craig.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. We wrap it up. Coming up next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
What the? On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, big guy, who you got this weekend? Packers, Cardinals.
Green Bay 28-21.
All right, Packers.
You know what? It's going to be a lot like last week's game. In control, but not put away.
Sure.
That's how it
Where you got to maybe sweat it out a little bit at the end.
Yeah, one of those.
All right, I got to figure out a way to watch that in Scotland. I can't wait for that.
Have
I'll
fun.
Be gone all next week. We'll be at Tausch. Coming up next.
The backups continue on westbound 94 as you are coming.